All right, welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. How's it going, Jade?
It is going good. Going good. It's rainy here, but going good.
We had the rain. Some yesterday and then like earlier in the week. So yeah. Let's see. Church announcements. Surprise, surprise. I don't really have any. Other than watch my YouTube. So outside of that, I was like, I don't really have any. Streams will be normal schedule for the upcoming week. And yeah, that's about it. Welcome back as well, 85. Do you have any church announcements, Jade?
I will have more moving forward because we will be at different cons. We being me and Mike will be at different cons over the next couple months. I forgot some of the names of them, but we'll be at DreamCon vending, so that's gonna be fun. And there are a couple more lined up, but that one I know for sure we are paid, booked, we're in it.
Nice. All right, today we have on the docket the messiness out of the season 6 of Love is Blind, a full recap of that will be in place of our news beat. A little bit of Twitch news, more so discourse about streaming versus real job that was brought up by Hassan Abi, aka Hassan Pike. Ghana Parliament passing anti-LGBTQ bill. Georgia's new bill that is basically anti-immigrant or anti-immigrant. Let's see. Breakfast Club's Week of Mess, featuring mainly one person. Mitch McConnell stepping down as Senate Republican leader, and Meg Thee Stallion presenting for Crunchyroll's Anime Awards. So, all that to say, let's start off with Love is Blind Season 6. That has been absolutely messy. So, I did this in order of the couples that made sense in my head. So the main couples we got for the season are Amy and Johnny, Jeremy and Laura, Kenneth and Brittany, AD and Clay, and Jimmy and Chelsea. We also got a love triangle-ish going on between Jeremy, Laura, and Sarah Ann, and Jimmy and Chelsea and Jessica. Well, actually, Jimmy, Chelsea, and Jessica is more so a love quad, I guess, if you include Trevor, but I put Trevor as a wild card because, like, his backstory apparently is quite wild. That man lied to y'all. So we're gonna start off with Amy and Johnny, who I put on my personal bingo card as like the couple that's gonna make it. Maybe the only couple at this point that's gonna make it. I really don't have notes outside the whole birth control thing. Me and Johnny, right? They've been the most normal this season.
And their fight is the most normal fight to be like, birth control, how are we going to go about this? They're acting like it's so difficult, but it's really, use a condom.
The main thing is Johnny don't feel like using rubbers is what I'm getting.
Right, or doesn't feel that they will suffice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, use a condom, and if not, either she goes on birth control or you get a vasectomy. That's something I have to talk about, but I like the fact that everybody's on board where they're like, team no kids right now.
Yes.
They're fine.
Yes.
And they're really cute together.
They are cute. Especially after, like, they met, Amy's dad, and he was kind of, like, reaffirming and, saying how great Amy was. I was like, this is so wholesome. But, I will say props to Amy for any time mess was happening with everybody else. She was just like, I'm just going to be over here with my man. And good luck to y'all. like, literally, I think on the first meetup with the couples when they were on vacation, Chelsea was coming in. She was talking about, I mean, it was like positive at the time. But she was, they were asking questions about intimacy and all that. And Amy was like, and y'all have fun, I'm gonna leave. Yes, Amy is who I strive to be sometimes when there's just a lot of stuff going on. And I'm just like, I'm going with the mister now.
Right, but I'm going over here.
Yes. Yeah, literally, that's about the only notes I had.
Yeah, that's it for them, because they're just very unproblematic. They're like season one, Cameron and
Lauren,
where it's just like, they're cute together, they don't have really problems, they have like one main thing going on with them, and after that, that's kind of it. And it's like, okay. We're cohesive. Cool.
Yes.
We're being adults. Cool. Like, y'all actually went into this experiment and said what you wanted to do and are doing it. Basically.
Yes.
And also, they're very happy with their choice, like, physically.
Yes. They're happy with their choice. So.
You can tell some of the other ones are not.
Yes. Speaking of, that brings us to the triangle that is Jeremy. I really don't like how his name is spelled, but he didn't control that. His mom did. But, or his parents did. But Jeremy, Laura, and Sarah Ann. Okay, so a little note about Jeremy's past that might not be a point of contention, but it wasn't brought up on the show. I don't know if they're bringing it up on the reunion. But Jeremy apparently was engaged when, at the time, he was applying to Love is Blind, or maybe like he was in the process of breaking up with his fiance while he was applying to Love is Blind. I don't know, but he was engaged before and had a whole baby. The ex-fiance.
Was that his baby or was that the fiance's baby?
Oh, that's a fair
point. That was a kid. That was a big kid.
That's a fair point. That might be the fiance's baby though. That might not be his baby. Yeah, because they didn't necessarily, they just showed the picture of him with his ex-fiance and the kid, not necessarily attributing the kid to him. So, yeah. But Jeremy's ex-fiance claimed that they sold their shared home in late 2022, and he started filming in February and March 2023. However, Jeremy claimed that his previous engagement wasn't a surprise to anyone. So, with that said, that wasn't brought up at all during the season. It was very much Jeremy and Laura, and then Sarah Ann came into the picture. So the main thing that happened, it seemed that Jeremy and Laura were cool to begin with, and then one evening he left to go to some event or something, some party, and then didn't get back until like 5:30 in the morning, and Laura was there just waiting on him, or I don't know if she was, like, sitting there waiting on him or they, like, talked about it the next day. But it left off of a cliffhanger before this recent batch of episodes. Left off on a cliffhanger that, so I checked your location and saw that you were at this place till, like, 3 a.m. or something. He was like, yeah. And she was like, and then it showed that you were at Sarah Ann's place around 5 a.m. And that's where it left off. So then it insinuated that he was cheating on her with Sarah Ann. His explanation, Sarah Ann was at the place, wherever they were, with the event, and he was being a gentleman and taking her home instead of putting her in an Uber. And they were just like having a very long conversation in the car. And he claimed he never went inside her place. So that's what he claimed. And they never like slept together or anything like that. But I guess like they were having the closure conversation. She was getting her feelings out and all that. So Laura understandably was pissed at him. And in the most recent set of episodes, they pretty much broke off their engagement. They broke up. Jeremy was very much like, well, if you're mad, I'm not even gonna try. And it was more focused on him and Sarah Ann at that point, and he and Sarah Ann decided to ride off in the sunset on jet skis. It all started, I forgot to mention that point, it all started when the whole experiment had ended. Jeremy ended up choosing Laura over Sarianne. Sarianne apparently messaged him, DM'd him, you know, trying to get that closure conversation going. I'm kind of still like eh about how she went about it. But she was basically like, hey, no hard feelings. And also, if there's ever a chance that you might change your mind, the door is open. Which, on the one hand, I'm very much like, because I'm very much like, why would you do that to, like, you're going after an engagement, okay, who actively did not choose you. But I do also realize, correct. I do also realize in that same vein, I know me myself, I was feeling a little hypocritical because I was very much rooting for Bliss and, who was that guy? Thank you. I was very much rooting for Zach to get his shit together and get back with Bliss. And leave old girl, which ended up happening. Well, thank you again for the 10 pennies. Sorry, the alerts are off now because we're podcasting. But yeah, so very much actively rooting for Zach to leave. I can't remember her name either. For Zach to leave whoever his ex was, and get with Bliss. And I realized that they were doing that during Love is Blind, much like Jeremy is getting with Sarianne during Love is Blind.
I think the main difference with that is that Zach and Bliss, old girl was not feeling him at the,
oh yeah, on the honeymoon part.
Honeymoon.
Yeah.
And was like, this ain't it.
Yeah.
Like right there. And so it was like an agreed upon, okay. And then he was like, dang, I should have went with my other choice if she told me.
Yeah.
I regret this. And so he went ahead and pursued her. And I was like, yeah.
Irina, yeah. That's her name. But yeah.
Irina, yeah. Whereas this was like, she left the door open, which... that was like kind of a move where it's like, okay, but it was on him to like not respond or yes. Like the thing, you should have just shut it. If the door wasn't open, yeah. You should have just shut it down.
Yes. And that's part I'm at where it's like, in that sense, when AD was like checking Sarianne, that's where I disagreed with her. Cause I was like, well, it's on the dude. Cause like he didn't reply, but he acknowledged it with the heart. So it's like, well, bro, you could have just swiped away and deleted it if you were really like playing innocent and closing that door, you know? So that's where I kind of disagree, because it's like, well, yes, yeah, she did message him first. He could have just ignored it.
Also,
go ahead.
Why was he dumb enough to show her after he liked it? You're supposed to screenshot it before you heard it and send it to her. And then heart it. Just dumb.
True. I think in his head, his logic was, well, if I show her everything, she can't accuse me of lying later. So that was dumb, though.
Try to be sneaky about it. No.
So, yeah, that happened. Let's see. I was trying to think if there's anything else. How did you feel about how Laura handled the situation? Because on the one hand, I kind of stood at, okay, while I do appreciate her calling him out on his bullshit, another part of me is like, if you're willing to go on the show, and if you were saying you really want to be in this deep committed relationship and want to be married, shouldn't you make the effort to talk to him? Not saying like she shouldn't be mad, but yeah. It was the whole shutdown of like, I'm not even gonna.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it could have been a conversation. It could, like, even if it ended how it still ended,
yeah,
it still should have been a very adult conversation to where like, we're gonna talk about this. Even if I'm mad, we're going to have a conversation, and yeah, I might need to take a day or two, but we're going to finish having the conversation, not we're just going to end the conversation there, and that's it. That's done.
Yeah.
And it's like, so once you shut that completely, he was like, well,
fuck it then. I ain't trying either. Yep. So
you should have known better to stay out till 5:30 in the morning. Like, come on, dude.
I mean, yeah. Because even if it was as completely as innocent as he claimed, that still looks very bad.
Yeah, so I shared my location with you. I was like, you thought that was like the bare minimum you could do. I was like, no, what would have been good was, hey, me and Sarah Ann are having a conversation. And I think that we should have this. I think we should have this, but let's do this at a later date.
Yeah.
That's not 3:00 in the morning. So that way we're not staying up until 5 a.m. have you questioning things. And then I can come home and say, hey, she actually wants to have a conversation, yada, yada. And I owe her that at least.
Yeah.
That I would have been like, okay.
Right.
A lot of things could have been avoided in that whole situation.
I agree.
I low-key think that sometimes some of them are not attracted to each other as much, and they don't know how to get out of it.
I also think that is the case. But, I don't know, they seem attracted to each other, at least on the honeymoon part. Maybe to a degree.
Her eyes bother me. That's my personal, her eyes bother me. I know there are plenty of things that bother people, about me that bother other people, but that's just my thing for her. Like, her eyes bother me.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's an attraction thing. I think it was just bad communication all around.
Yeah. But even at the little honeymoon thing, like, when she told him the joke, and he went and told the other people, and how she blew it up even bigger, because he was like, he just repeated it. I was like, you didn't say that to yourself.
Right.
She was like, it was a joke. It's like, well, did he know that it was? Some people are, and I can say it, some people are like oblivious to certain things, so you have to point blank say like, hey, don't repeat this. This is a me and you joke.
Right.
Not a joke, and then you can repeat it elsewhere. Like, you weren't supposed to know about this.
It was also a weird joke to begin with, because it was, what was the joke? I know the action of the joke. I can't remember the term for it. I was like, I've never heard that term.
Something beans.
Bean dip?
Bean dip, yeah.
Okay. I've never heard that. And I have not been in any sorority. Although I've been around Black Divine Nine sorority culture. Is that all white sorority thing? Because I've
been around white sorority too, and was in one, and that is not a thing.
Okay.
I get the action of doing it, but the naming of it, yeah, no.
Okay. I've just never heard of that. Oh. So yes. I do think that was probably the beginning of the end.
Yeah. That was a big indication, because how she blew up on that, and then she flipped it on him.
Right.
And I think from that point, it was like,
which for his part, good job on being transparent, because I was just like, okay, Jeremy, I see you. But
yeah. And that's the weird thing about him. He's transparent on everything. So you can't, it's hard to find fault, because he's very transparent.
Yes.
So weird. It's like, but you still feel like something about you makes me still feel like you're the asshole in this situation. But yet you're still being very transparent. So
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. But okay. Any other notes on Jeremy, Laura, Sarah Ann? Oh, the Sarah Ann tears.
Yeah, she can save those. She can save those.
On the one hand,
I
kind of get it, because I truly don't think that she's as much of a villain as people are making her out to be. Like, she did stuff I didn't agree with, but I think the whole mean girl, well, I'm calling it mean girl campaign that Laura was trying to do to like turn people against her, I kind of get it in that sense, especially in a situation like Love is Blind. I wasn't necessarily moved by her tears, though. I empathize. I just was not moved.
Yeah, like, I feel that stand 10 toes down on what you did and on what you said. And, like, if that's what it is, that's what it is. I don't think you had the worst intentions. I think it was literally you got out of the experiment. You were still hurt. You were like, I'm still feeling you. I feel like you feel me. But so if things don't work out, I'm here.
Yeah.
And just, and she was, it was an innocent thing too, which actually that's pretty justified to say too, because they could, she could have said that in the pause to him. And they would have been mad about it.
Right.
But remember, she kind of was just like, if that's your choice, that's your choice. And she didn't say anything.
That's true.
So she finally got to say what she would have said. And that probably would have swayed him.
Yeah.
And he would have changed his mind and ended up with her.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like she pulled a Bliss and she pulled a, what you call it? What's a Jess? Where like, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
Just letting you know. Like, I'm it for you, just letting you know. But the tears of it, you could have saved. Just stand on what you said. They're trying to paint you as a villain. You're not. But just stand on it and be like, no, that's not how it was. That's not how it went down. Especially when you were saying that he was letting you know that he was breaking it off with her anyway.
Right.
So it was like, oh, I'm really not the villain. I would have been like, nah. What had happened was.
Right.
And yeah, I was like, so I don't see her as like the big villain, how they're trying to put her out to be everywhere. It's like, girl, go get your man. Because this was a, and because we're not in the same shoes as them on the experiment where they're stuck listening to somebody for hours on end every day. You fall in love through a wall. And then you never see them, so then you still have those feelings. Because at the end, it's just like, I don't choose you, but yet you still have those feelings for somebody. So, it's a hard situation.
Very true. All right. Moving along. Kim and Brittany. I feel so bad for her.
Right? I'm Team Brittany.
Absolutely.
He's the worst.
It's like, it was very much like, bro, get off your phone. Get off your phone.
It was so rude, though. It was so rude. As they were doing that conversation, and I told Mike about it, and I was like, if you did that to me, we would have a problem, because no. I'm trying to have a serious conversation, and you're in your phone the whole time? Hell no.
So, Kenneth and Brittany seemed like they were, like, you know, really vibing the pods and whatnot, and he kind of proposed to her pretty quickly, which, at first, I thought was kind of, like, interesting. And then I was like, okay, it is what it is. So, my concern, because since they addressed it, it's like, first off, I didn't think you were allowed to ask what race you were in the pods, but I guess, like, who knows, season six, they probably nicked some rules throughout. So they had the whole race conversation. So he knew Brittany's white. She knew he was black. I thought that was probably going to come up as an issue later, more overtly. Like, I thought, like, one's parents weren't going to be approving or whatever. We didn't even get that to that point. Chemistry was kind of there, at least on the first day of the honeymoon, and then after that it went downhill. Like, they went on a whole boat ride. He was not talking to her at all. It was not like, no physical touch was really had, at least on his part, and the dolphins were the only thing that like piqued his interest. And then by the time they got back to North Carolina and they were like moving into the apartments together, he was on his phone for a good 2 days, and then he was like, yeah, this ain't gonna work out. Yeah, I like, it was obvious he didn't like her. I just don't know why. I am wondering if they're gonna address that at the reunion. But, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they definitely, I'm team not him. He paid no attention to her. It was real weird. Maybe he shouldn't have rushed into it. I don't know. I like, they clicked because they were on that whole, he's a principal, she used to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So they kind of understood each other. They had, they had like similar religious values and things like that. So like they connected on that. And so when they were connecting on those points, it was all cute and all that. It was just once they were in person, and she's a cute girl too.
Yeah.
But once they were in person, like he just flipped the script and was ignoring the hell out of her. And I'm like, ooh, first of all, she's a better catch than you. So let's get that straight. We're just going to call a spade a spade. Secondly, when they brought up the conversation of like you said, it's all started once they had the conversation around race and kids and everything. And he's questioning that. And she's basically reaffirming him, saying like, no, I'm prepared for that. Like, I'm prepared for if we have kids, I'm raising black kids. I'm raising this. I'm with a black man. When she said, I will not get in the way of your black excellence, I was like, go ahead, Brittany. Go ahead, be an ally. Yes. I was like, be unproblematic. Yes. Thank you. We love that. Oh. Or like the lady on Twitter said, be the white person in the closet. So like, be my pop's house in the closet. Just mind your business when it comes to black business. It was like, yes, thank you. So she was saying all the right things, and then he's just like, I think he saw AB and probably was like, dang, I should have chose one. He probably was talking to another one and they just didn't show, maybe, or I don't know, but I think that whole, he just wasn't ready for this show. Because his 25-year-old self was not ready.
Clearly.
He said he was ready for marriage. He said he was, and you had like literally somebody handpicked for you. It was like, dang, that's your equal.
Right. It was like, fucked it up. From the pause, I was like, y'all seem to be a pretty good match.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I was like, I don't know why, but even he said, well, I will say that first off, Brittany was the first white woman he had, I don't even know if I should call it dating at that point, he really didn't do much, but he was the first white woman that he's ever been with. So even though in the pause he said he didn't care, I am wondering, is like, but did you? Once you got outside, or like, did you like realize like, oh, I'm not attracted at all? That is one of those, like, of everybody who, at least for this season, of everybody in this season, I really hope they like an explanation. I want an explanation for at the reunion, between these two. Well, for him, actually, more so, because she didn't really do anything. Because she didn't have time to. but yeah, so wasn't the shortest relationship we've ever seen on Love is Blind, but it was close. I just realized midway that I forgot to add Matthew to this list, and I...
Oh no, he can stay off. His crazy self can stay off.
Okay. I just realized, I was like, oh damn. Ew.
Your little serial killer looking self can stay off.
Yeah, Kenneth and Brittany, definitely not the shortest relationship we've seen on Love is Blind, but it was probably like second place. Like I said, I just hope we get more answers at the reunion, because there are rumors circulating that Kenneth might be gay, but I'm not necessarily gonna lean that way, because like, we got a Facebook comment saying, claiming to be his cousin, who was saying that.
And the only other receipts that she brought was when they did a thing on him and she reposted, she's like, look at my cousin, and he liked it. So
it's one of those things of like, Colloquially, Black Americans do call each other cousins if we are associated with each other, but it's one of those things, like, either or?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But yeah. If it is the case that he's gay, I hate that he got outed in that way. Because clearly that was something that maybe he was trying to keep under wraps. But if it's not, I was like, I wonder why this random on Facebook is lying on your name like that. I just have so many questions. So, okay. Anything else on Kenneth and Brittany?
Not on those two.
All right.
Brittany, I hope you find somebody.
Somebody. I'm sure her DMs are like flooded, so. Mm-hmm. Okay, Clay and AD. Let's see. Okay, I didn't have any extra notes, but okay.
You mean Red Flag Central?
Yes. 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 So that's going to be very interesting. Now, they're on my bingo card they're probably going to make it to the altar, but they're going to break up before the 1 year reunion or even the reunion episode that's supposed to show in a couple weeks. I think they're going to be broken up at some point. I don't think they're going to make it a marriage. I think they might be getting married for clout. So, that's my prediction. So, Clay is a walking red flag, and he has even said so. Not that way, but the fact that you kind of got to keep referencing that your dad cheated, and you're worried about cheating because your dad cheated, and that's every other conversation that you're having, is like every episode he at least brings that up once. So, the follow-up to my prediction is that he's gonna cheat on her, and he's probably gonna be like, "Well, I told you, because my dad cheated." That's not an excuse. But Clay needs therapy to address that. AD, I think, she apparently has said before that, like, you know, a lot of guys dated her for superficial reasons, didn't really have like deep connections. Clay apparently, and she was the one talking to Matthew, who we're like not addressing, but she talked to Matthew first, and Matthew was Matthew, and then she fell back on Clay. So she was saying that Clay, especially after she saw him, I think, but she was saying that Clay gave off the same vibes as the guy she is used to dating. And so even as she said this, like, so that should be a red flag to you, right? Because but anyways, so I think that AD's not necessarily used to having those deeper conversations, apparently, or like sussing out if someone's really into her for her, as opposed to like the physical aspect of it. And even though her mom was like actually trying to check Clay and like when they met her mom, even though her mom was trying to check Clay and like, you know, let him know if like, well, this relationship is about y'all, it's not about any outside people, and all of that, because I think he tried bringing up the whole dad thing again, and she was like, no, this is about y'all. Y'all need to figure out what works for you. And, you know, she kind of looked at her daughter, and all AD said was like, oh, he's really fine. Which, I mean, okay. I was telling the mister, I was like, now I can't tell if the editors were being messy on that, or the producers were being messy, or if that was all she actually said. So, yeah, it's very much giving. I feel like y'all doing this for clout. I don't want to put that on y'all, but...
It's like, you want to be the black couple, and I think they wanted to be, from last year, Brett and Tiffany.
Yes.
I was like, but Brett and Tiffany was locked in. Day one, and I was like, yes. So it was like, y'all are not them. And Yeah, just something about it. It's like he seems like the type of guys that you date. He seems way more preoccupied and, like you said, worried about cheating. Because I don't know who brings it up that much. Be like, I'm worried I'm going to cheat on you. I'm going to cheat on you. I'm going to cheat on you. It's like, dude, relax. How about be happy? Because when you're putting that out there, you're just waiting for it to happen then. So, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. But, yeah, we'll see. I'm trying to think of if there was anything else I had on them. That was just like the overall theme of their relationship.
Yeah. The only thing about Matthew is I wonder if he actually found old girl.
Oh, yeah.
That left.
No idea, because nobody has posted it on Twitter yet. And I haven't gone to Reddit either. But apparently Reddit's the place that's popping with all the Love is Blind mess.
I love how messy it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else on AD and Clay, though. Outside of him being worried about cheating.
Outside of cheating, he seems like a really good catch.
Yeah.
Like, he got his stuff together, he's young, he's successful, he's doing his things, he's doing his business things. Dirty! So it's just like, yeah. Yeah. Like, she seems like a catch, too. I just don't think that their catches match up.
Mm-mm. Like, it matches up on the surface level, which is, like, all I can give them.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, hello, Dirty. That's another we'll see. Like I said, I think they'll make it to the altar, just not... Either they're going to break up before the first reunion, or they're going to break up before the, 1 year after, it would technically be 2 years, but, you know, 1 year after they're married. Anything else on Clay and AD?
No, nothing on them.
All right. And then not last but not least, because we still got Trevor, which is the whole thing. But last couple / love triangle. Jimmy, Chelsea, Jessica. Jimmy has been quite goofy this season. But Jimmy has gone from just being goofy to being a Jimmy brother blink twice. for me. Okay. Yes. So Jimmy was trying to choose between Jessica and Chelsea. Jimmy, I think, was swayed once Chelsea said that people have told her she looked like Megan Fox. I don't know who told her that.
Did you see her Instagram or whatever, when she was like, all the people who said I've ever looked like her, please come out. And I was like, yeah, girl, because no. Even when you squint, nah. I think she looks more like Hillary Swank. Which is not a diss. But you just look like, more like Hillary Swank.
Touche. She has the same hair color and the same eye color as Megan Fox, and that is all I can give her. But do I think she favors her? I can't give her that. Also, if you gotta go to Instagram and ask for people to verify your claim, I don't think that's a good sign. Anyway, I think personally Jimmy got swayed once Chelsea said that. And I think he also did not feel ready to step in and be a father / stepfather to Jessica's kid, because Jessica did come in and she let him know right away that, well, not right away, but like within enough days, she let him know that
the connection was real.
Yeah. Once the connection was real. Yeah. She let him know that she did, in fact, have a daughter. And I think that was something that made him worried, and that combined with his perception of what Chelsea might have looked like. When she said that she favored, she was told she favored Megan Fox, I think made it kind of solidify his decision to choose Chelsea over Jessica. And then just being like, you're gonna choke when you see me, was like, I will say she did have the best exit out the pods, out of all the seasons, because I was like, yeah. Now, was it mature? No, but I didn't like it. So we, you know, fast forward, Jimmy and Chelsea are doing their thing. They're on the honeymoon, and almost right away we see red flags, because that was before the clingy conversation. Oh, Jimmy was being goofy and couldn't stop talking about AD. So in that sense, Chelsea was right to be upset, because like that was goofy on his part.
I think he saw that booty and was like,
yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Hello.
Right.
Because I think he likes Chelsea. I think he does like thicker women. But he saw that ass. It was in a daze. It was just like, oh my gosh.
Then let Chelsea
know how to contain it.
Yes.
Because he didn't know how to contain that. It was just like, ooh. I bet he was kicking himself after he said it, but he was... He was like, ooh, yeah.
Yes. So that happened. So they definitely had a tip about that. So and they made up, and then they get back to North Carolina. And like Chelsea introduces his friends to Chelsea. Chelsea introduces her friends. At some point, I think it was while she was introducing them to her friends, they were hanging out with her friends. And afterwards, they were talking about something, but it got to the point where he was like, well, honestly, you were a little clingy, which I do understand why she got upset, because he could have found a better way to say it. And then it went absolutely downhill after that. I forgot what she said. but it definitely went downhill after that, to where... he was trying to apologize for saying that, but she kept digging and going in, and to the point that it made him uncomfortable, and they kind of left off after on that. But in the next batch of episodes, he decided to go to a friend's birthday party. He was gone for an hour and a half. She didn't want to go. She told him she didn't want to go. He got back. She laid into him and then accused him of cheating and sleeping with Jessica. And he was like, just...
No. What?
No.
Oh, yeah. She did.
Yeah.
She did.
And he was like, what are you talking about? And then she accused him of that. And she also decided to bring up something he told her off cam was that, hey... by the way, I slept with one of my friends. It was a one-time thing. Doesn't mean anything. And he told her that off cam. I think he told her that before they met. Either before they met or after they met. It was one of those. But he told her that off cam. Trusted her to keep that off cam. And then she brought it on cam for all of us to see and throw it back in his face. And he was just like, I don't want to be in this environment anymore. And then she, and then she tried to pout and apologize, and he accepted the apology the next day, and we were just like, no!
Run, Jimmy, run! That was your out!
Yes. Oh, the first argument when he called her clingy wound up, like, one or both of them left the place.
He did.
Yeah, he left. Left the place. And then the second argument, he was just like, I don't know if I want to be here.
I think she has a lot of insecurity.
Absolutely.
And she's definitely clingy because of those insecurities. Because if somebody can't go out for an hour and a half, and
after you said you didn't want to go with them.
Yep, and you're like, you lied to me because in the pod you said you don't go out, you don't do this. And I was like, ma'am, it's on camera. We all saw that he said he likes to go out to just, like, to the bar or to whatever, hang out with friends. He didn't say, like, I like to go out and to raves and do all kinds of clubs and stuff. He was just like, I just like to go out every once in a while
and it was
hang out and chill.
It was his friend's birthday, so it was like, it's kind of important.
Yeah, but like, they were here before you, and then trying to throw the ultimatum is like, well, it's either me or your friends.
Oh yeah,
baby, you just got here. Them, because she didn't like that. Because he was like, I'll check you right here.
Right,
no. You want me to give up my friends? Yes, no.
And he was like, you're not about to put me in this position.
I love that for him. I was like, yes, stand on that, Jimmy, because she's trying you. She really is. I was like, because once you say, okay, it'll be downhill.
So, good old Jimmy for establishing some boundaries. But, mm-hmm. Damn, Jimmy, you ain't have to take her back.
at all.
So, I'm trying to think of anything big happened between them at the barbecue. On the last episode.
It was all amicable, especially like with talking with Jess. She got her piece out.
She did.
You got to have a conversation with her. And it ended all nice. And I think she finally realized, like, girl, you had an emotional connection to him, but you can do better than him.
Right.
She wished him all the best. And I was like, yeah. I was like, see, that's how you're supposed to do it.
So, yeah. I did appreciate their conversation. And I know Chelsea was feeling away on that. I'm trying to figure out, did they leave off having a conversation with Trevor, or did they like kind of address and then move on?
They had a conversation.
Okay.
What was it? Because she kept on talking about how that's her type.
Right.
That's her type. If I was Jimmy, I'd be like, and? You being rude. He didn't ever say, like, Jess is my type. That's right. My type right there.
Right.
Because you would have been crushed. But that's my type. That's my type. You're my type. And I was just like, girl. And then at least Trevor was just like, wish them the best of luck. And Trevor and Jimmy's bromance.
Yeah.
Was the highlight of that conversation. And they still got him still wearing that bracelet.
Oh, yes.
Love his bracelets where you tap it.
Yes. And she said something like, oh, you're right. I should put mine on. I'm like, girl, what you doing?
I was like, I think she liked the attention.
She does. And I think someone had posted on Twitter, but I think I kind of agree with them. Basically, because she knew what Jessica looked like. So Jimmy chose her, now because of the predisposed insecurities that she had, like, she couldn't necessarily, Jimmy chose her, and then she said yes, but even though it seemed that she had a stronger connection with Trevor, she ended up choosing Jimmy because she knew what Jess looked like and therefore wanted to win against her. Basically playing a game that only she was playing. At that point. Right. Yeah. So now that she and Jimmy were together, all her insecurities are bubbling up because she's trying to do this imaginary competition with Jess. Meanwhile, Jimmy's like trying to focus on actively trying to be a part of this experiment and like trying to make sure this is the right person for him. And is walking into like his eyes for Jimmy. His eyes every time like they have like a knockdown argument, like his eyes just get so big and like a horror film of like, what did I get myself into? I think that part of her insecurity, she's now in this imaginary competition with Jess, even though Jess has like basically removed herself and she was like, I obviously still have feelings and getting over it, but I am happy for y'all, so good on her. But okay, do I think they'll make it to the altar? Only because Jimmy continues to try and try again.
Yeah. I think that she might say no.
Why do you think that? I'm curious.
Just because after seeing Trevor.
Oh.
Even though she's so down for her man, Jimmy, and she keeps saying Jimmy, and she won, she got the ring. I think she's going to come to her senses. Mm. And because homegirl is cling, she is a level 5 Klingon. And yes. I just think that a lot of their lifestyles don't line up. She's too worried about his friend. It's going to be too much. He's already said he's not giving up his friends for you. So, because it makes me uncomfy. That was cracking me up.
It's the way I was just like, God dog it. I like saying comfy / uncomfy in very informal settings. And I was just like, you are ruining this. Now, granted, I don't say it in serious conversations or at work, but damn it. I was like, well, she ruined that for me.
Right? But yeah, I was just like, I think that she'll say no. I think he'll say yes and she'll say no.
I do think there's a part of her that wants to have the upper hand on that too.
Mm-hmm.
More than she wants to, like, you know, be married to somebody.
Like, he'll go first, he'll say yes, she knows he chose her, and then she'll always have that moment.
Yeah.
Like... But yeah.
So, anything else on Jimmy, Chelsea, Jess?
Not on those three.
All right. And then last but not least, we got the wild card, Trevor, who didn't seem a wild card, still doesn't seem like a wild card on the show, but apparently in real life, news broke that Trevor wasn't even single. Apparently he was a liar and deceiver for joining the show despite having a full-fledged relationship with another woman. And numerous screenshots of Trevor's conversation with his alleged girlfriend have surfaced online. So, yeah.
I hadn't even heard this tea.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm trying to... Let me pull up the history and... Do-do-do-do. Where you at?
Trevor really made himself out to be like the big teddy bear.
Yes, absolutely.
Like the big nice guy. I cried, Chelsea. You broke my heart. I cried. Like, that was his role.
Okay. Okay, so I couldn't pull up the screenshots, but apparently the way the text messages laid out were that his girlfriend was aware that he was going on the show and was seemingly okay with it, so it seemed like a deal of like, hey, I'm doing the show for, I don't know, exposure, clout, money, whatever you want to call it, and she seemed to be okay with it. And then when Trevor's time on the show ended, after Chelsea broke up with him, he appeared to have texted his girlfriend, "Do you still love me?" And then he promised her that when they got home, they get married.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. They must not be getting married, because how else them things got leaked?
So, how do you bring that up? So apparently they broke up 2 weeks ago. And that's how they got leaked.
I was like, I'm about to air you out.
So that happened. So Trevor's a wild card. I won't necessarily call him. I mean, he was kind of, that was kind of villainous behavior, but he seemed perfectly fine on the show. So on the show, he's not necessarily a villain. He just did some villainous shit that made him a wild card. Okay. Anything else on Trevor though?
That mullet did. That's just crazy.
That mullet did look good on him. But go ahead.
Right? I was like, mullet actually worked on that. Usually I hate them so much. But I was like, it worked on you. Right? It worked. So yeah. But yeah, I just never would have thought. I never knew. Mm-hmm. Never would have thought.
Why his name gotta be Trevor?
Ruining it for Trevor Noah.
Right? So, that happened. But yeah, never knew. Alrighty. That's the name of a guy uses it badly, right? Alright. Moving on to Creator Hub. It's been pretty low-key on the creator side and Twitch side. Wasn't even a lot of Twitch news. A couple things of interest. Korea Fine Twitch, I'm gonna assume it's South Korea, but Korea Fine Twitch, 435 million won, which equals to about 327,000 USD for suspending bots, violating the violating the Telecommunications Business Act. As you remember, Twitch pulled out of South Korea recently, like in the last month and a half. So them pulling out of South Korea, pulling their services out of South Korea, did involve them suspending VODs from creators who happened to be in South Korea at the time. Anything on that?
That's not surprising. I mean, certain Asian countries like China, things like that, when it comes to social media, very strict. So that's not surprising that they got slapped with a fine.
Yeah.
For violating the act. Yeah.
Dang, good on them for getting their monies. Because that is kind of unfortunate that they had to pull out an entire country. It wasn't even like a small country. I feel like there was a good amount of streamers like who were in South Korea streaming. So it kind of sucks. So I completely understand why they slapped that fine on them. Secondly, drum and bass. I'm assuming that's bass because otherwise it wouldn't make sense. Drum and bass category on Twitch now has its own shelf. I guess for percussionist, who might be interested, which I'm kind of curious how they'll, work with that now that Rolling Stone has pulled out of Twitch. There's not as many opportunities, but, at least drum and bass now.
Music is on there.
Oh yeah. That's probably why Rolling's part or a bigger reason why Rolling Stone, pulled out too. So, yeah. So, opportunities for percussionists are still available. Okay. Miscellaneous. It's Twitch, but it's it leads to a bigger conversation, I guess. And it's Twitch because Hassan streams on Twitch. But Hassan Hobby confirmed what... Well, this is Zach's writing, not me. Zach Bussey. But Hassan Hobby confirmed what we know all along. Streaming is the hardest job. So... A little background to that. Hassan hosted a stream where he was watching Risa Tisa's Who the Fuck Did I Marry TikTok series. And apparently, while he was watching that, Hassan said, yes, a real job can be gruesome, but a real job can make you very tired. But a real job doesn't suck the soul out of you the same way that 9 hours of streaming absolutely will. Social battery wise, unless you're in retail, is very different. A real job does not expend your social battery in the same way that Twitch streaming does. Which leads to the question for a slight deep dive. Is streaming harder than a real job? I will say, as someone with a real job, I will say this. I don't know I'm gonna say I don't know for sure if what I do is considered hard, honestly, because I've been doing it for some time now, and it's one of those things that I decided to do what comes easy to me. So I was like, okay, that works. I think the restrictions on it make it hard, in the sense of, like, y'all still don't know what I do. Well, Jay does, but the audience doesn't know what I do. So certain restrictions on it make it hard, but it's not so restricted that I can't get married or I can't date or whatever. It's like I can still have a fairly normal life outside of it. So anyways, back to the whole job thing. As someone with a real job who some people on the outside might look at and say it's a hard job, I don't know. But some people on the outside might look at it and say it's a hard job. I will say that when it comes to streaming, the process of going live and, like, either doing a Just Chatting stream like a podcast or playing video games, that part itself isn't hard because, like, it takes a Google search to know how to set everything up. And once you set it up, it's like, just watch for updates and stuff, software updates, and that's it. However, to make the same income that my real job, that I make in my real job, that part is hard. Because that means, especially a lot of streamers start out with doing this on the side while having a real job. So that would mean, for me, that I would either have to put my real job at risk, or I would have to completely quit my real job. But to make the salary that I make at my real job, and I'm not saying what salary because I don't want y'all to know, but it's a livable wage, I'll put it that way. Barely in this economy, but still a livable wage. But to make the salary I make streaming, I would say it's hard because I would have to do that full time. I would have to network with the right people. I would have to be all up in everybody's chats and make myself friendly and expend all that social battery. And I don't know if I would even have time to have a successful marriage. So, yeah, I'd say to be super successful, I would say, is the hard part. Not necessarily the act of streaming itself. But also don't stream 9 hours a day like Hassan. So there's also that. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely think, like, as somebody else who has a real job, it's like when you compare the two, it's almost comparing apples to oranges, but they're still fruit. So it's still two jobs. They're different types, though. They're different industries. Like, you could say that about, like, when actors, like, to us, we were like, it's just acting. It can't be that hard. But they're like, no, it actually is hard. So it's just like with everything, people who do streaming at full time, that is a hard job for them because you have to keep up with all of that. You have to keep up with your chats. You have to network. You have to have a social, your battery has to be on at all times when you're on. And it's just like, it's very draining. And it's draining in a different sense to where when you're at work, you're drained. You're just tired mentally and kind of sometimes just from like, oh, that was a hard day. But when you get off, that's it. You're just off. When you get off of streaming for so long, you don't want to do anything because it's like I peopled.
Yeah.
In a different way. I had to put on this persona a little bit more. I had to expend myself way more than I usually would have. Like when you're at work, yes, you have to be professional, but you're not having to be on for people. So like that's where that portion of like that draining and the hardness comes from. So I was like, that I can completely get where like it's different than having a different job. And like I said, I definitely agree with the retail because I've worked retail. And yeah. Oh my gosh, until you work retail or in a restaurant, don't say nothing to anybody about working because...
I have not worked retail, nor have I worked in a restaurant. I did have to answer phones to start off where I worked, and I hated it so much that I was glad that they were like, you only have to do this for 2 months. Thank you so much because I don't want this.
It's a trip.
Yes.
I was like, I worked in a restaurant and I never wanted to work. I never want to work one ever again in life. Ever. So yeah, and I've worked fast food. Never want to do that in life ever again. Never. So it's certain jobs when you they're like, oh, a real job. Like, no, this it's hard. Certain things are hard. They might not be the traditional brick and mortar sense job, but they are hard and they are taxing in different ways that other people just don't know unless you've experienced it. Like, restaurant wise, the best I can tell you is watch The Bear, because that's the high level of stress and anxiety is what it's like. It really is. So I was like, ooh, it make you be like, I feel like I'm in the weeds again. It's like, oh, oh my God. And ooh. So yeah, it's just, it's another level. So I definitely agree with that, that like, to an extent, it's a hard job for people who are doing it full time, with like bigger channels, or like the people who are grinding it out, trying to make it, who are doing it full time, trying to make it themselves bigger. It's hard because it's a lot to do on the front end and the back end. And then after you get done with your live streams, usually you have to go, you make TikToks and you make these and you have to do Instagrams and you have to do, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Your job is really 24/7 because.
Yes. Now,
it just is.
It would be easy. I think the easiest way to do that would be to focus on one. Like, you gotta not put all your eggs in one basket, but you gotta, like, make clips of yourself so that it can spread. But put your main focus on one platform and grow your audience there and then bring them over to, I would say, Twitch, like, for live streaming Twitch. But I will say it's, like, I think it's interesting that Hassan was the one brought up. And I was like, Hassan, you got a name brand because you were on a whole show called The Young Turks, and then you brought your audience over. Although I don't know what else he's doing, so maybe because now he is streaming 9 hours a day, that he's realizing this is hard. Because I was like, right? Because didn't Hassan do Young Turks before he did Twitch? Or okay,
yeah, Young Turks.
Yeah. So I do find that interesting that he said that since he did the strategy of, like, he built up an audience because he was on a bigger show or bigger platform and then stream, I guess, decided to stream full time on Twitch. So, but yeah, and obviously, like, streaming is a real job. It's one of those things of, like, yeah, I know I don't feel confident quitting my day job right now to do streaming full time. Even if I did have the blessing of everybody around me who, like, depended on my income to do it, I was like, I still don't want to do it. I need an angel investor to give me $1 million.
Cinnamon, you hear that? She said, just because you're trying to be all up in your mouth mix. No.
So, yeah, I would need something like an angel investor give me like a couple million for me to feel comfortable enough to be like, okay, I'll stream full time. I mean, a couple million, like at the front end, like before I even considered that, not even a back end guarantee of like, oh, your salary is $1 million. No, I need that in hand right now.
Like, I need to live right now. So.
Yes. So, yeah, all I say is, like, one, yes, streaming is a real job. Two, jobs are hard for different reasons. I'm curious if here's the thing, we're both extroverts. Not extroverts, we're both introverts. I don't know if Hassan's an introvert, extrovert. He kind of gives introvert, I'm not gonna hold you. But we're both introverts, so I wish I had the foresight to have an extrovert on here to ask them the same thing. Like, would it be hard as an extrovert, or would it be as hard as an extrovert to be a full-time streamer? Any thoughts?
If I was an extrovert, I bet it would be so much easier.
Right, I feel like it. But okay, I think the flip side to that is if we were extroverts, we say it'll be easier, assuming that our chat is like flooding or like we got people chatting with us as streamers. I wonder if the hard part of the extrovert side is that if you're just starting out, you don't have an audience built up already, so you're strictly starting out from zero. I wonder if that's the hard part, because like, not that they need people to bounce off conversations per se, but I think extroverts do get their energy from other people or being around other people. So if you're around a lower view count chat, would that be taxing? I'm just curious. I don't know.
That's hard. That's really hard. I don't know.
That ain't something to think about. I'm just thinking about it in that way, because it's like, I feel like they find it easier once they have an audience. But because like me, if I have a low view count today, as long as I'm playing a good game, I was like, I'm just getting lost in the game. I'll look over at the chat whenever. So yeah, I wonder if that's how that affects them. Anything else on streaming in general and/or creator hub stuff?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Hang on, I'm trying to find my witcher. I had a lot of Anyways, just don't care. My stream deck was like, oh, it's not here. Just don't care, so do we care. Alrighty. This one's a little stacked. For it to be this segment. So first off, let's start with Ghana. So Ghana Parliament, which is kind of surprising because Ghana's one of the countries in Africa that was touted to be as more progressive? But the Ghana Parliament recently passed an anti-LGBTQ plus bill, which drew international condemnation. The spokeswoman for the Office of the UN High Commissioner said that the bill broadens the scope of criminal sanctions against lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people simply for being who they are, and threatens criminal penalties against those perceived as their allies. So that's what the bill does. That's what the bill says. They basically are making it illegal for you to identify as LGBTQ+. The UN is condemning this. I don't know if sanctions are going to be passed out to Ghana. I did think that was like kind of interesting, considering it's Ghana, but yeah, that happened. Any thoughts? Or is that I was gonna ask, is it for Ghana being choosing to do that, or more so is like it wasn't that surprising?
A mixture of both. And then also, I wonder how that's gonna fare with like visitors. People who go to the country, like, because that's pretty much basically if you. They're just, well, yeah, either you are or you're an ally. It's you can be condemned for it. So it's just like, how's that going to do for your tourism when, especially, Millennial and Gen Z, yeah, they're way more liberal.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know how that's going to pan out.
It's probably going to tank it a bit. Just because like there's been this whole movement in the past few years, for more black people to go to Ghana, to travel to Ghana. And now that this has been passed, I think that fewer, not all, but fewer, there's going to be a, lower number of black people who feel comfortable going there now.
Yeah. 'Cause like now is deemed a not safe place for anybody within the Alphabet Mafia, so.
Yes. Anything else on that, though?
On that, no. Not surprising. It's Africa.
Yeah. But... Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Georgia. Georgia also passed a bill. Georgia House passed a bill that will require police to stop anyone thought to be an illegal immigrant. The Republican-backed bill is said to aid the detention of illegal immigrants after a University of Georgia nursing student was beaten to death by Jose Ibarra, a Venezuelan native who crossed into the United States illegally. A dissent from Representative Esther Penich from Sandy Springs, a Democrat from Sandy Springs, said, "We want justice for what happened to Lake and Riley. We don't want violent people who are here legally or not legally to be on the streets, but this bill won't do it. This bill won't close our borders. It will not make us safer and will not make women safer." Interestingly enough, Texas had a similar bill that actually got struck down. It passed through, I think, the Texas state legislature, but then got struck down by, I believe, the circuit court. So, for basically being unconstitutional. So, curious to see what the effects will be of this bill. But your thoughts on this?
They make me so glad that I don't live in Georgia anymore.
That is fair.
When I saw this come across my news feed, and I was like, what? So then I had to look it up further because I was at dinner looking at this, and I was just like, wow, this is just crazy. That goes against so many. It's going to be so biased.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be pulling people over, detaining people who you perceive as what you think an illegal will look like. And I know that they're saying that it's supposed to keep things safer and they're supposed to be working with ICE and so that way they can like go after people who are known to be illegal. But this also pertains to people who are not known. So if they think that you're illegal, you can just be detained until they get to the bottom of it.
Right.
And it's just ridiculous.
Also, anybody can look. You don't have to look away to be illegal. Anybody could cross the border illegally. So, yeah.
But also this plays into that stereotype that all illegal Americans are dangerous.
Yeah.
When it's like, that's not the case. Anybody can be dangerous.
Yes.
Anybody. So I was like, that's what plays into that stereotype of like, oh, they crossed the border, so they're a danger to us. Or I just recently had somebody bring up the point when they're once again at work when somebody was like, yeah, because you know when they're illegal that they get all the government benefits. I was like, that's not how that works. They can't get benefits because you don't have Social Security number and all the things that you need in order to get the government benefits.
So the thing is, once they like have their status as like they cross here legally and get their names and stuff like registers, like they do get government benefits, but they've already been registered somewhere, so like in that sense, they're not illegal because they're on paper. They have papers, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Especially like people who came for like amnesty.
Yeah.
Things like that. It's just, ugh.
Process. That's the word I was looking for. Process. Yeah. Georgia. But I know what this is. I recognize what this is because there is a whole thing happening with apparently there's been an uptick in people crossing the border, so, and because it's an election year, that's gonna be an easy topic, so yeah.
What's hilarious is Georgia is nowhere near a border.
Yes.
I was like, ooh, that racism just go deep.
Yeah, because it's like, so are you gonna like confirm if Texas or Florida or any of the top states with the Canadian border or any of the eastern states. I mean, it's just water out there, but I don't know. Georgia is landlocked, so yeah, I don't know where. Nah, the border thing is not, they don't have a border. They have state borders. They wanted to make a stance, though. So, they just wanted to make a statement.
They did that, they did.
anything else on that, though?
Nothing else on that one.
Okay. I was trying to avoid it, but we got to talk about the mess that the Breakfast Club has gone through for the past couple weeks, because I'm tired of seeing it on my timeline. Alright, so, I will say, it's not just hilarious, so it's not just going after her, even though what I'm about to say is gonna seem to contradict that, because it's gonna be focused on her. because it was like, Breakfast Club has kind of been kind of hit and miss for me, at least in the past year, mainly because DJ Envy's also been in some mess, but also he's been kind of acting out with some guests, and it's like, why are you doing this? With like certain guest interviews, like, I don't know if you caught the one that they did with Keith Lee, where he called him like a hood food critic. That was like last year in 2023. That was like late 2023. But yeah, Breakfast Club has been Breakfast Clubbing. Like I said, they've been known to be hit and miss. All throughout the years, like, Charlamagne's always been a wild boy. So it's one of those things, it's like, eh. But this particular mess feels different to me. So it all started, when, they were talking about the, Risa Tisa story, her, TikTok series of Who the Fuck Did I Marry? Charlamagne made the comment that it sounded like a big back problem, in the sense that it sounded like she was desperate, which obviously big back is is fat phobic. Piggyback off of that, but also, to add into it, and like basically say that Risa Tisa did look, in fact, look big back. Charlamagne didn't know what she looked like, just added the fat phobia of it, even though big back is already fat phobic, because she was looking at her story and picture. So then T.S. Madison, reality show star, I believe, and also a creator who has her own podcast, made the comment of, like, basically speaking on behalf of the Big Back community and saying, like, oh, should we, like, bash Charlamagne's face in or something like that. Now, it was in text, so hard to say whether or not it was a joke. It seemed like a joke, but it's one of those, it's like, because it's in text, we don't know for sure. So then, when Jess decided to do her segment of Jess with the Mess now, which basically replaced Rumor Report. So then on the next show, Jess decided to respond to that, to what T.S. Madison said, and basically was like, she decided to defend Charlamagne, and Charlamagne was like, it is what it is. Jess decided to defend Charlamagne and was like, well, now if we said something of that same level to T.S. Madison, now we would be looked at as hateful, you know, since she's, I don't think she explicitly said since she was transgender, but T.S. Madison is transgender, a transgender woman. Jess was like, now if we said something to that degree, it looked like a hate crime, now wouldn't it, Charlamagne? And Charlamagne's like, hush. So then T.S. Madison decided to reply to Jess and was like, call it what it is, because you're mad I'm trans. And then Jess decided to reply to T.S. Madison on the next episode. and Charlene and Envy were like, so the weather though, that's the vibe I got from when I watched the clips. Jess also, in the midst of all of this, Jess also decided to respond to Mandy off of Horrible Decisions podcast, because apparently Mandy, this was like months ago, apparently Mandy had a content creator and I guess a trans woman as a guest, and I think Weezy was the one who was talking. She was going back and forth with Weezy, and Weezy was asking, oh yeah, like I think she asked her about creators she knew that was, that might fit the description of transphobia and all that. And so Mandy, they brought Jess's name. So Mandy was like, yeah, based off of the definition, what I know now about the trans community, I would say that Jess Hilarious is transphobic, because not only does she talk about trans people, but she doesn't even seem welcoming or to even like trans people. So yeah, she's transphobic. Jess decided to reply to that, despite the fact that that podcast episode was like months ago. But she decided to respond to that in the same week that she was going at T.S. Madison. And that's how that rabbit hole started, actually, because I saw that clip and then the T.S. Madison stuff like sprung up and saw, and I was looking at the background of like how that started off, and I was just like, I'm tired of seeing this woman on my timeline. God damn it. So yeah, like, first off, baby, just you that transphobia, like, yes, just admit it at this point. We feel so much better if you just admit it, instead of going at these people who are calling you transphobic because you don't want to be called transphobic. It's giving the same energy a white person would have who you know is racist, but if you call them racist, they're gonna get mad at it. So yes, that all of that happened in the past week and a half. Your thoughts on all of this though?
Yeah, I can't say like she's transphobic, but she gives off those vibes.
I
definitely give off the vibes.
I can say it.
She's like, I'll say it.
Well, just because I was just like, every time, I think the thing that sold it for me was when she went after the trans community. Oh, because somebody who was trans went after Jess. I can't remember why. Somebody from the trans community went after Jess, and then Jess decided to reply and go after the entire trans community for not having periods, and basically being like, just because you dress yourself up as a woman doesn't mean you'll never be a woman because you don't have periods. Invalidating the people who are born and are not able to have periods, even though for all intents and purposes they've been identifying as a woman their whole life. Other people with medical conditions and trans men. But it was like that pretty much sold it for me of like, you have to do that. There's no sometimes reason.
Like, you just want to tell them like, shh, go take a nap. Because no, just stop. But yeah, it's sometimes, like I said, you just want them to say like, I need you to go take a nap somewhere because you're doing a lot.
Yes.
I want to do the least amount right now.
And also, now granted, I've been watching Breakfast Club on and off, so I might have missed it, but I don't think I've ever seen something to this degree where the rumor report like was so focused on one person going at multiple people throughout the week because of something that was said, like a beef or something. Like, yeah, they've had Breakfast Club court and stuff like that, especially like as of like late when Envy was kind of beefing with Rick Ross, but even that didn't take up like an entire week's worth. It was like 2-3 episodes at the max.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things of like, I think that's where I was like, why does it always have to be about you? And you responded to people calling you transphobic. Like, can we get back to other mess? But yeah, and I was like, it's kind of the hilarious part that I don't think she was trying to be hilarious about, but the hilarious part of her going after Mandy, I was like, y'all are in the same podcast network. I don't think this is a good look
at all.
And again, that episode was like months ago. Why are you replying now?
It's
yeah, so I don't know. It was just like, Breakfast Club going Breakfast Club. I know they made their decision and they're probably like fine with it. I just don't know. Like, it's one of those things of like, you know, where someone gets a job that you didn't think they were the right person for the job, or didn't necessarily want them to get the job, but you're like, well, I'm gonna hold my peace. It was like, hopefully they do a good job, and then they start showing their ass, and I was like, see, that's why.
Right there, that's why.
That's what I was worried about. So I don't know. Will she have a growth moment? I don't know. Hard to say. It's just kind of interesting. It's like, I don't know. At her age, I thought it'd be slightly better, considering we are her age. But hey! Which is another thing. I was like, I didn't realize she was that young old. And I was just like, oh.
She said that young old.
Because I can't say, because we're fully grown and adults now, so I can't necessarily like say like, oh, you're a kid. It's like, no, because like we're the same age, or she's a couple years old or something like that. But yeah, it's like, no, yeah. It's like, it kind of is at the age of like, we could start saying that you're a big age. So still young when it comes to industry stuff, but as like a person. Any more thoughts on that? I just was more so like, I fooled myself once again for having higher hopes when something was announced that I didn't particularly agree with. But your thoughts? Yeah. Any more thoughts?
No more thoughts on her. I don't give her any more of my thoughts.
That's fair. I should start doing that. But I'm just like, ugh. But hey, that's what happens when you follow something for a while and you get invested. It was like, now I care. But anyways, moving on. Okay. Weekly roundup. Last thing. I am coughing because I did a whole almost 8 hour stream yesterday. I was like, I think I was constantly hydrating throughout, though, because I knew. I was like, clearly I am talking too much for me to start coughing now. Weekly roundup. All right. Mitch McConnell said that he will step down as Senate Republican leader after the 2024 election. Well, he said November, but I'm assuming after the 2024 election. He's 82 years old, by the way. But he revealed this in an address in the Senate, and he is now the longest serving Senate caucus leader in history. He plans to keep his seat in the chamber, and his term actually ends in January 2027, so he'll no longer be the Senate Republican leader. He's not fully stepping down from the Senate, just from the leadership position, whether that is majority or minority role. Right now it's the Senate minority role. It might flip again depending on how the elections go, we'll see. But yeah. You know what's funny? He's only 1 year older than Joe Biden. Or is he about to be 1 year older than Joe? How old is Joe Biden? Everybody's old.
Right? They all too old to be doing this. All of them. Every single one of them. I was about to say, that turtle man still is not about to go on his shell.
Nope. Not until 2027.
Lord.
Okay, yeah, he's only 1 year older than Joe Biden. So, yes, we are now in the state where we are being asked to either vote for someone who will be 85 to 86 at the end of their second term, or vote for someone with 90-something odd indictments who will be 81 to 82 years by the end of their term, their second term. And we have still too old. And we have a Senate Republican leader currently at 82 years old, who is stepping down from leadership role, but still will be in the Senate voting until 2027, which they will be 85.
Too damn old.
So.
They're making up laws and rules for things that are not going to pertain to them in the next 20 years.
Yeah. They have surpassed all the year milestones that you can think of, except, as Jon Stewart said, for being on the being featured on the Smucker's Jar for reaching 100. And that's where we are, where our leadership is, will all be 80 years old. I guess with the exception of the VP, but our leadership will be 80 some odd years old, by the end of their terms or during this election year. So there's that. Outside of too damn old, any more thoughts?
Old too damn. but no, nothing on Turtle Man.
All right. Last but not least, shout out to Meg Thee Stallion for presenting the award for Anime of the Year at Crunchyroll's Anime Awards, and she came dressed as Bruno. Don't get on me, anime fans, because I haven't watched JoJo's. Bruno Bucciarati? I butchered that. Listen, she dressed up. It represented a character from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, alright? I love how she was able to, like, go to Japan and, like, be at something, like the Anime Awards that she obviously... He is part of that culture. She really loves anime. And the anime of the year that won was Jujutsu Kaisen Hidden Inventory / Premature Death. Which also won for Best Director, Best Action, Best Character Design, Best Cinematography, Best Ending, and opening Sequences, and Best Supporting Character, which was Gojo. Obviously it was Gojo. We love Gojo here. And 3 Voice Actor Awards. But yeah, I just wanted to say, I was like, I love the journey that Meg's on. And it's kind of like inspiring in a sense of like, you can kind of have something, or represent something in, maybe not all the fields, but in a lot of the fields that you're really interested in and passionate about. Because not only is she rapping, she's doing some acting. But also the brand deal with Nike for fitness, and now this for presenting for Crunchyroll's Anime Awards as an anime fan. So I was like, see, that's kind of the track I want to be on. I want a little something in everything. I want like a podcasting something and a gaming something, and specifically a Kingdom Hearts something one day. So, yeah.
Did you, speaking of Kingdom Hearts, because it was a one of the fan sites on Facebook, like one of the fan groups. And apparently, I didn't know this, but she's confirmed to be a Kingdom Hearts fan.
Who's that?
Meg.
What?
Is a Kingdom Hearts fan, yes.
I love her more.
I was like, I'm going to make sure to tell Em that. I was like, Kingdom Hearts fan.
It was like,
apparently.
Meg, you mean same. Like, we should be friends.
I was like, yes. Love that.
You know, I kind of tracks with the anime she likes, so I'm not like that surprised, but I'm also like, yes,
like we got one.
It's like Yes, we got the hottie as a Kingdom Hearts fan. I too can be a hearty and a Kingdom Hearts fan. I love that for us.
So yes.
But yeah, so that was just as a Megan fan moment, I just wanted to address that. But I really didn't know she was a Kingdom Hearts fan. It was like that valid. See, I knew I liked Meg for a reason. I didn't know if you had anything else on this though. Nope.
She was out there doing her thing in Japan, which I loved.
Yes. Okay. Up, y'all. I'm going to hydrate. But I gotta go. I got engagements to do. And work to do, but I also got engagements to do. So, appreciate y'all for coming out to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Have we decided what day we're gonna podcast consistently? No, not yet, but we'll let y'all know. We should be back next week. I don't have anything, I believe, so we should be back next week, but we'll let y'all know as Discord as always. So, appreciate y'all once again.